Welcome to you all this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to worship together. As our brother said, it is by choice that I'm related to the Harold Olmsted family. I was not born into that family, thank God. Now that didn't sound exactly the way I wanted it to. What I meant was I could not have married Rhonda if that would have been the case. That is the truth. But it is good to be with you this morning. And I love to share, but I always get extremely nervous when I'm at a place where there's a lot of people that I don't know. And so to help me relax, I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you don't know who I am? Now, I realize you just heard my name, but let's forget that. You don't know who I am. You're hearing me for the first time. Good. I want to put you at ease. I don't really know who I am either. In my wallet, I carry a license that says I'm from Michigan. If you look at my vehicle, it's registered in Pennsylvania. I live in a house that I do not own. I own a house that I do not live in, and I'm trying to buy a house that I have no money for. And it's been a journey. And yet, by God's grace, it's been a good journey. Actually, we're trying to purchase a home in Michigan. We're renting a house there until all the paperwork is completed, which I think after 2 months, it looks like next week that paperwork should be finished and we will be the owners of a house in Pennsylvania. God has put us on a journey. And God has been good through that journey as we moved from Pennsylvania to Michigan. It is good to be here and to worship God together with you this morning. Today's message is taken out of the New Testament, and I believe, at least, it's one of Paul's most noble teachings, and it's found in Ephesians 2. And I entitled it Kingdom Impact. We are impacting the world for the kingdom of God. Paul says in Ephesians 2, he says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Someone told me one time that a healthy church is not measured by how many people are there. It's not measured by the size of the building that you worship in, or the number of programs that are available to the public, but rather a church, a healthy church, is measured by how many within the church are making a kingdom impact. This morning, I want to challenge each of us, myself included, are we, am I making an impact for the kingdom of God? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, or that God prepared in advance for us to do. There's something for each and every one of us to do. Number one, we are designed by God. How many people realize that and know that? Amen. All of us, I trust, know that we are designed by God. Why? Because we are His workmanship. What does the word workmanship mean, Jerry? I'm going to pick on you this morning because you're right up front here and you kind of shine and say that again. We're a product of His design. Can you explain that?
That's physiology.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get my notes out here now. Workmanship. Workmanship. What's the Greek word for workmanship? Do we have any Greek scholars here this morning? I want to confess right away. I'm not a Greek scholar. But I believe in the Greek language, that word means something. If I could explain it this way, it's a... The word workmanship is a work of art. Okay, so every one of you are a work of art. You are a masterpiece. Each and every one of you are a masterpiece. Now, how many of you felt like a masterpiece at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock this morning? Probably very few of us. You did, Jerry? Oh, yeah, that's good. Great. I wasn't feeling quite that way at 5 o'clock this morning. I was feeling a little sluggish, actually. We are his masterpiece. If you can get the concept that you are a masterpiece of God's, that you are of great value, you have considerable amount of worth, actually worth more than anything in this world to him, you begin to realize who you are in Christ and what you can do for Christ because you are his masterpiece, his workmanship. Someone once said this. They said, a ship in the harbor is safe. It's beautiful. But that is not what ships were built for. How many of you would agree with me that that's a magnificent piece of work right there? I mean, I'm fascinated by things like that. I have went out onto the sea several times, and I've went out miles and miles out where you can't see any land and all of that, and it's okay, but it's not really something I want to do for my life. Thankfully, I stayed healthy when we did that. But I've always been intrigued by these ocean liners. Someone took a considerable amount of time to draw up a plan to build that thing and to make it float. And it's beautiful. And it's beautiful out there on the ocean. I remember years ago we were down in New Orleans and we got to sleep right on the, we were in a motel. We were right on the edge of the water. We were up about 22 stories, I think, and we could just watch ocean liners at night. And it was more fun than sleeping, just watching those guys come up and down the river. It was wonderful. It was great. Look at that ship. If there was nothing inside of that ship, if it was just a shell, how much value would it have? Very little. Why? Why would it have very little value? And feel free to answer any questions. Just shout them out. But why would it be of very little value? Not doing what it was built to do. A ship in the harbor is safe. It's beautiful. But it's not what it was built for. That's exactly right. How does that tie into your life? How does that tie into the masterpiece that you are? If you are sitting in the harbor, you're beautiful this morning. I say that just to put everybody's mind at ease. You're all beautiful this morning. But if you are just sitting here beautiful, but your life is empty, you're not contributing to the kingdom of God as he designed you to. And you need something breathed into you. You need something breathed into you. I want to ask you this. In the human race, when God created Adam, what does the Bible tell us? He pulled together dust. He pulled together the dirt. And I believe God was there on his hands and knees and he started to form and to shape this body. And he began to work at it. He began to give it a shell. Was it complete after God was all done? Brushing the dust off of it? I don't know how you do that when you create something with dust. How you brush the dust off. But was God done? No, I agree with that. He was not. So, I want to ask you a question. What have you been created for? I'll finish that on Adam later, but what have you been created for? What have you been created for? I was impressed this morning. I did not, simply because we don't use the same Sunday school lesson, I had not studied the lesson this morning, and I was impressed with how that lesson seemed to tie in with what God wanted to share with us this morning. It amazes me often how that happens. God is doing that even before we ask. But there was a question in Sunday school asked this morning, what have you been created for? And someone said we're created to bring Him honor, I think it was. I forget the exact wording, but yes, we've been created to bring Him honor. I believe we've been created to praise Him. We've been created to make an impact into the world. Let's look at the life of Adam just a bit. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and we all agree he was not finished. What was the next step that needed to take place? What was the next step that needed to take place? He needed to breathe life. Yes. Is God done then? After he breathed life, I got one slide ahead of myself here. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and the man became what? He became a living being. Now, is God complete? Is God complete? I'm going to answer that question. I have some of you thinking. Jerry, you look like you're thinking. That's good. That's good for you. If we look at Genesis, it says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God saw that it was good. He was good. It was very good, actually. No, there was nothing really fancy about all the chemical makeup that made the body. But God took great care. Because why? It was a masterpiece of work that God had done. He took great care in creating man. David says it this way in Psalms 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are fearfully and wonderfully created into a masterpiece for the kingdom of God. We are of great value. To the church in Corinth, Paul says this. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are we complete when God breathes into us the breath of life? Well, this work doesn't end right after the breath of life. No, because in Jeremiah, the Lord said, look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you, Jeremiah, in my hands. God is continually working. Now, had Adam and Eve never made a mistake, and I'm not here to blame at all, this was God's plan. But when he breathed into Adam the breath of life, Adam was complete. He was whole. And so are we when God breathes into us the breath of life. But what happens is we're born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature needs the Holy Spirit of God breathed into it. What does God say to Nicodemus? He said, you need to be born again. We need that Holy Spirit's breath into us, and then we are complete. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands. God is continually, he has this completed masterpiece. Now you are his because you've asked him into your life. You are whole. Finished, and yet God is continually working, molding and shaping you into something beautiful. Is that always easy? Causes a lot of pain at times. Causes a lot of discomfort at times. Our family has went through personally I've went through things in the last year that I wouldn't have anticipated. I lived at one place for 47 and a half years. My roots were pretty deep. I had never moved. I was born at the hospital, brought home to that house, and that was home. And in a way, it still is home. By God's grace, we still have that property and can lease that out. But God was calling us on elsewhere. And that's painful. For some people, they love moving. I've learned that I don't enjoy it. I've never done it, often wondered how it would be, and I got my taste, and I don't really enjoy moving. I felt very interrogated when people started carrying my things out to the semi-trailer. I thought, those are my things, and you're touching them, and you're moving them. And I had to walk away, and I needed some time alone as that took place that day. And yet, looking behind and also looking ahead, I knew that God had something else in mind for us to do. He had something, I don't want to say better, but something beyond what I could see. And He said, it's okay. It's okay to feel the way you do. It's okay to walk through this journey. But just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Yes, I want to form you and make you into something better than what you have been. Even something more useful than what you have been in the past. I want you to continue to make a kingdom impact. I can't do it on myself, neither can you. We need the work of God's Spirit within us. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God's. To be conformed is to allow the outside pressures of the world to shape us, is to allow the roots of where I had been to only keep me there and not to move on. People would tell me, how in the world are you going to do that? You've been here for 47 and a half years. You can't pull up and leave. But to be transformed means to be shaped from the inside out. To be shaped from the inside out. Who is doing that molding and shaping? None other than Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one that is doing that. Conforming is what the world does to us, and transforming is what the Lord Jesus Christ does to us. He shapes us into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus, so that we can be useful and make a kingdom impact in this world today. Be still and know that I am God's. If we take time to allow ourselves to get into the Word of God, if we take time to communicate with our Creator, if we take time to build relationships with those around us, if we take time to listen to the still, small voice of God's, we will be enabled by God's Spirit to make a kingdom impact. Number two, you were created to do good works. No, I'm not legalistic when I say that. But we have been created by our Creator to do good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now that we've been created, now that you have had the breath of life, going to repeat a question. Are you complete? I'm going to say this, and I said it before. If you say no, that you're not complete, well, then we could maybe assume that Christ made a mistake. Because when He breathed into you, you did truly become a living being. You were whole. But, again, I say that when sin entered the world, God had another plan. He explained that to Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. You must be born again. I remember well the spring that I asked Jesus into my heart, that I became born again. And I remember the feeling of peace and freedom that spread over me that spring. And I remember that as I was out on the tractor, and we used to mowboard plow all our grounds, and I was out there plowing, and I was singing at the top of my voice because I felt free, and I felt peace, and there was nothing really bothering me. That's the born again. That is the impact that God has in our life, and He began. And He's continually been shaping and molding me since that time. Sometimes with more pain and sometimes with less. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart for myself. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. We have been created to make a contribution. And once the Spirit of God has breathed into us the breath of eternal life, we are on our way to making an impact for God. If all God wanted us to do was be born and accept Him into our hearts, if that was the only thing that God created us for, then the moment we ask Him into our hearts, He should call us home to live with Him forever. But because He had something specific for each and every one of us, we were created for a purpose. We're a masterpiece created to make a contribution in this world, created to make an impact in the kingdom. And all of us are going to do it in different ways. All of us, because God has gifted us with different gifts, we're going to do it in different ways. But all of us have a special assignment. God left you here. He left me here because He has something for us to do. He has a special assignment. Someone once said this, it isn't the duration of our lives that count, but rather it's the donation of our lives that make a difference or make an impact for God's. I don't know how many of you are like I am. I probably wasted a lot of my years in trying to find out who I was. Wasted a lot of time with this excuse. If only you knew what all was happening in my life, you would understand why I'm not making much of an impact right now. If only you knew what happened. And so I would go and try to find someone who would tell me that it's okay. I understand why you're not making much of an impact. I didn't use that word, but that was a concept. I have to wait. I would try to tell people, you know, once everything in my life is in order, once all this pain is gone from my life, once I've dealt with all the disappointments that I felt were dealt my way, once all of that's taken care of, then I will make an impact for the kingdom of God. Once all these things are done. Well, unfortunately, it wasn't so terribly many years ago I began to realize that's never going to happen. When one pain is dealt with, sometimes it feels like another one comes along. And that's not always true in life. And yet, I believe God allows those things to happen for our dependency on Him. I wanted all of that to go away. See, when all of that was gone, that then and only then I could truly focus on God. But I began to realize that's not reality. Reality is focusing on God through the pain and allowing Him to continue to shape and to mold me. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're facing in your life. I don't know what you may be struggling with, and you may be saying that if only you knew, you would understand why I'm not making an impact in God's kingdom today. I want to challenge you to move beyond that, to focus your attention and your heart on God and say, God, what is it you want me to learn through this experience? I've not mastered that very well, but I'm working on it. And God is using, I believe God is going to use those I believe God wants to use that pain to bless other people. Excuse me. All of us have been given a wonderful gift and an opportunity to use that gift for the kingdom of God. We have to push through the barriers that want to stop us. Satan loves nothing more than to trip us up by thinking, like I thought, you need to wait until everything is fine in your life. That's not true, but Satan wants you to believe it so that you will set back and do nothing. Trusting that you will use those opportunities to grow. Number three, take action. Take action. Since we are God's masterpiece, now is the time to take action. And Paul ends with these words. He says this, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Each of us is a masterpiece. Each of us is a beautiful creation. And God wants us to use the potential He has created within us for His honor and His glory. To make a difference in the world. Becoming a Christian isn't just knowing about Christ. It's also discovering our potential in Christ. It's discovering who we are in Christ. It's discovering the gifts that God has blessed you with and how you can use those gifts to bless other people. God is continually working on us, shaping us, maturing us, growing us into what He wants us to be so that we can operate and make an impact in the kingdom of God with our fullest potential. With our fullest potential. I don't believe, as I once did, that this ongoing work of God is what is meant by Paul when he declares, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's workmanship is not the ongoing process of what God is doing in you. It is the completed work of what God has done in you. It is the completed work. I operated so often thinking I was on complete. And as I did that, I could not live up to the potential that God had created me to live up to. God's workmanship is not the ongoing process of what God is doing in you. It's the completed work of what God has done in you. Even though you are in one sense called to grow, and I don't want to negate that at all. We're called to grow in the knowledge of God. You are in another sense complete. And to live in another level, you need to understand that you are God's finished work. If you think you're not complete, you'll never be able to operate to your fullest potential. A disclaimer is, we will never be complete, fully complete until we are by our Savior's side. We will never be fully complete or whole until we are by our Savior's side. Workmanship. It's a term used for an end product. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. It is whole. You are God's workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to make an impact in the kingdom of God. You are finished. You are complete. Look at that ship. It is beautiful. It's magnificent. It's a piece of art. If that ship just sets in the harbor, what happens? It's useless, really. I mean, it's okay to go and take pictures. It's beautiful. But it's really useless. And so are we in the hands of the one who created us. If we sit down and say, give God the credit for creating us, and we say that we are complete, we say that we are whole, and yet we just sit there, that's not what we were created for. That's not what God designed us for. He designed us to go out and make a difference for Him. God has blessed you. When He breathed into you the breath of eternal life, God blessed you. He blessed you in the heavenly realms. When Jesus rose from the dead, you were raised up to life with Him as well. And when Jesus was established on His throne, the promises of God were given to you as well. Those promises were given to you to empower you to live up to the full potential that God created you for. When you believe in Him, you are complete. You are a masterpiece of life. You are God's workmanship. Praise God that He has created you with potential beyond your imagination. Why? Because He didn't want you just to sit here looking good. He wanted you to make a difference in the world today. He created you for that very reason. If you've given God your life, if you've had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit breath breathed into you, you will make an impact for the kingdom of God. God bless you all as you serve Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit's breath of life that was breathed into us, Lord, when we were born again. And thank you, Lord, for the mercy and grace that you have for us as you shape and mold us. The patience that you have with us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to share this time together this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your word has been honored and glorified here this morning. I pray that you would take this message, Lord, and use it for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for all you have done, continue to do for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention this morning. God bless you, and I'll turn it over to someone.